This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Thousands of Palestinians in Gaza flee after the hospitals they were using as shelters came under attack. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken saying today,
"We need to maximize every effort to prevent Palestinian deaths and to advance the humanitarian assistance that's getting to them."
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the White House is also focusing on the release of the hostages Hamas is holding. In Tel Aviv, Israelis hosted a Shabbat dinner with more than 200 empty seats.
Bringing the hostages back should be the first and foremost priority of the government, and it isn't.
Another group, Palestinian Islamic Jihad, says it's prepared to release a woman and boy it's holding.
That's CBS's Willie James Inman reporting. As the FBI investigates letters, some laced with fentanyl and sent to election officials in multiple states, Georgia's Secretary of State office confirms to CBS that one intended for the Fulton County election office has been seized by feds. CBS's Bradley Blackburn.
The letters were sent to offices in five states and were believed to have been mailed from somewhere in the Pacific Northwest. Initial tests show some of the letters contain trace amounts of fentanyl, but further tests are being conducted.
Some people like to call fentanyl a drug, but it's actually poison. It'll kill you. It'll kill you very quickly, very easily.
Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger confirmed that one of the letters was addressed to an election office in Fulton County, the same county where former President Trump and several co-defendants faced charges for trying to overturn the 2020 results.
University of Michigan's football coach is banned for a few games over sign-stealing allegations. Sports reporter Erica Herskowitz.
Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh was suspended three games, so that means for the rest of the regular season, after the Big Ten found the school was in violation of carrying out in-person scouting of its opponents for several years, which the conference says gave Michigan an unfair competitive advantage that compromised the integrity of competition.
Harbaugh has denied any knowledge of an improper scouting scheme in his program, and the school has asked a judge for a temporary restraining order. The FBI seized New York City Mayor Eric Adams' electronic devices earlier this week as part of a federal investigation into the mayor's campaign fundraising. Some of the devices seized have now been returned to the mayor. Investigators also searched the home of Adams' top fundraiser, Breonna Suggs. Former FBI Executive Assistant Director Joshua School tells CBS News,
"The underlying allegations of illicit campaign finance fraud, they could also be looking at a conspiracy charge, depending on whether or not they were interviewed or conspired to lie to investigators. And potentially the reason they seized them is to prevent the destruction of evidence. And they had proof that somebody was getting ready to destroy evidence that..."
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Have you been trying to figure out how to finance your education? Let's be honest. The cost of college these days is staggering. If you have strong academic and leadership skills, you may be eligible for a scholarship from the Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks. Every year, the Elks National Foundation awards more than $3.3 million in scholarships that range from 1 to 4 years. So pick up an application today at your guidance counselor's office or your local Elks Lodge. To find the lodge nearest you, log on to elks.org. High school seniors, would you like to avoid student loans? Parents, would you like to give your child a better future without mortgaging your own? Well, a $60,000 Elks scholarship may just be your ticket to the college of your choice. Each year, the Elks National Foundation and your local Elks Lodge provides millions of dollars in college scholarships to high school seniors. If you're interested in learning more about the Elks scholarship opportunities, visit our website at elks.org. Elks care, Elks share.
A message from your Wisconsin Rapids Elks Club, number 693.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. 27 overnight under cloudy skies, northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy again tomorrow, 42. 35 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, Moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. And so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Calvin is on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. Just a reminder, every Wednesday, the new mom at 10:33 joins the show to give us an update on little Frankie Lou. I was going to see her yesterday, and then Kristen had a real busy day with other people stopping in. So this coming weekend is going to be my Francis weekend.
All right.
I'm very excited. I'm also very excited about our next guest. And actually, this was a listener who brought this organization to our attention. Harry Pulliam is the vice president of the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network, and he is joining us now on the phone. Good morning, Harry.
How are you doing?
Good, thank you. How about yourself?
I think I'm okay, thanks. I think I have a warm spot someplace.
Well, that's good. Harry, tell us about Sustain Rural Wisconsin. And again, it was a listener who brought your organization to our attention and said, you need to talk to these people. So what is it that you do?
Well, Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network has been around for almost 10 years. We are a fairly loose-knit organization or coalition, if you will, of citizen groups around the state who are concerned with water quality and the adverse effects of industrial agriculture, industrial farming activities on public health and water quality.
So when you talk about the effect, are you talking about these CAFOs, these large animal operations?
We're talking, I think the term is typically called CAFOs, but you can pronounce it however you want to. A lot of folks don't even use the acronym. They just say factory farms. Sometimes they say industrial livestock operations. That's pretty much what we're talking about. That's the primary culprit in this situation.
Well, and for surrounding communities, I mean, how many animals are we talking about at some of these operations?
Well, just by state law, the typical CAFO, if you will, is about 750 dairy cows. They call it 1,000 animal units. If you're talking about hogs, it's like 2,500 hogs or 2,500 animal units. With chickens, it can be several thousand.
The biggest issue is what we do with the waste of all these animals, correct?
Exactly, that's the primary issue.
And what is the current?
Some of these
go ahead, Harry.
Some of these operations produce millions and millions of gallons of waste, and it is waste every year. There's an outfit called Pinnacle Dairy outside of Broadhead, Wisconsin, Greene County, that produces 94 million gallons of manure every year from 5,800 cows sited on 127 acres of essentially wetlands, been tiled for years beside an already impaired stream. And they spread that manure over about 7,000 acres throughout about three counties.
Wow, that is really a lot to wrap your brain around.
It's hard to conceptualize that amount of manure.
Well, and that's not even. There's an article that I found from WPR. There was a proposal in 2019. A developer known as Cumberland LLC proposed an operation with 26,000 pigs.
Yeah. Matter of fact, that's still in the works. We've Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network and its affiliate groups have been successful for a couple 3 years now in staving off that installation. It's currently under review. The permit was once denied because they didn't have. Well, let's say they have to have a certain number of acres to spread their manure on. Usually it's in contract. They don't own that land. They contract with farmers who take it as fertilizer. in so many cases, these operations say on paper that they have so many acres, but when you go back to the people whose land they're supposed to be spreading on, those people say, well, we never sign any paperwork. So, so it's been, sleight of hand, you know, but we've been able to stave it off for a while. There are several communities, I'd say five, six communities in northwestern Ohio and Burnett County, where this Burnett County is where these this one operation was planned on being sited, who have developed operations ordinances, not to say, no, you can't come, but, you know, if you come, you have to behave, and this is how you need to behave.
If you're just joining us, Harry Pulliam is our guest. He is the vice president of Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network, and they really focus on trying to keep our water clean and keep people engaged. Harry, I can't even imagine for people who live around these large farms, what do you hear from those folks?
Well, like I said, we've been hearing stories for years. Over in Kewaunee County, that's probably the poster child for the effects of industrial agriculture. They have far more animals than people in Kewaunee County, and there are people over there who were on the county board who had manure coming out of their faucets, groundwater coming out of their faucets.
Wow!
Really?
Really? And I've seen pictures. I can send you pictures.
Can I just believe you? I don't have to.
Well, you can certainly believe me.
Yeah. I don't need to see pictures.
All this stuff is backed up by data. It's not like it's scare-tastic tactics. You know, we're trying to let the general public know. And generally, you know, folks in urban areas, they don't think about it because, you know, if you have a problem with a well in an urban area, I mean, everybody goes crazy. They shut down the well. They move people's water supplies to other places. They pipe in water from someplace else. But the folks in rural areas, if they have a problem with their well, for instance, in Emerald, Wisconsin, which is in St. Croix County, right across the Emerald Town Hall, is right across the street from Emerald Sky Dairy, which is a major CAFO. Their nitrates in their water, which are allowable at 10 parts per million, are now over 50. Folks around the state are having that kind of problem every day.
Well, and it's certainly, dairy is a critically important industry in this state, and I don't think anybody wants us to lose more dairy farms. But when you're talking about numbers like this one that was proposed for these pigs in Polk and Burnett counties, 26,000 animals, how can you even care for this number of animals in the way that's required for them to be healthy?
Well, that's another question. It's something that we don't necessarily concern ourselves, although we're concerned about it. We don't necessarily work on animal rights or animal welfare questions, but there are so many other things that we need to address. But that certainly is a concern.
Well, if someone is listening and they would like to get involved, Harry, what could they do?
What I would suggest folks do is go to our website, which is sustainruralwisconsin.org, and take a look. We have a nice website with lots of information. We have I like to direct people to this area of the website called Reality Check, and that's a that's a series of about 30, 31 slides that you can scroll through that explain. They have pictures, and they explain at the top what the industry calls something and what it actually is.
What examples can you share with us, Harry?
Oh, gee whiz, trying to think off the top of my head. concentrate. You'll have a picture of as far as the eye can see, you see hogs, and they'll say concentrate animal feeding operation. What does that tell you? But at the very bottom of the picture, it'll say, you know, thousands of hogs in confinement in situations where they can't even turn around.
I am looking at the website right now, that section, and holy cow.
Or holy pig.
Holy pig. Holy
instance.
Holy oinkers.
Yeah, you're so true, you know. And then there are what we found and why this organization got off the ground, I think, is that so often small communities are beset with these installations planning to come in, and they don't have a clue how to deal with it. They're concerned, they're worried, they've read about other situations, other parts of the state, but they don't have a frame of reference on how to address it. What's the first thing I need to do to protect myself and my family? And so they can go to the website. There are a whole series of suggestions on ways what you can begin to do, who you can contact, and how you can try to protect your family.
Boy, and we need to figure out something else to do with manure.
Well, yeah, we do. Historically, you were talking about numbers of farms. We lose about a farmer and a half a day.
A day still.
And what's happening is the industry is being encouraged by the federal government, actually, to concentrate, to have bigger and bigger farms and more confinement. Historically, I mean, you see these pictures of red barns and the cows on pasture and so forth, and some folks still do that. I was at a farm yesterday in Greene County where they have 40 or 50 cows, and that's how they do it. And the cows are healthier. They last longer. They have, they're milking cows that are 12 years old, whereas in a CAFO, they're lucky if they live to 3 or 4.
Seriously?
Wow. I mean, honestly, by looking at the pictures in the Reality Check Project, that doesn't surprise me.
No, not really. Yeah, it's really so big. But you know, so we're getting fewer and fewer farms, but we're not losing numbers of cattle. And what we're hollowing out rural communities, because you know, generally one of these big operations comes in and says, "Gee whiz, we're gonna employ all sorts of people. We're gonna spend all our money locally. It'll be a boon to your economy." Well, actually, they buy all their inputs from someplace else, some other large outfit.
Harry, hang on for 1 second. We got to go to a break. We just got a couple of minutes in the break. If you can stick with us, I'd really appreciate it for another segment.
Not a problem.
Excellent. You are listening to As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us. Harry Pulliam will be back with us when we come back. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle, we're out there because you're out there.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Talk about an uphill battle. Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. 20 minutes past 11 o'clock. Jane Matnier in for Kristen Bry. Calvin on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio and joining us on the phone. He is the Vice President of Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network. Harry Pulliam is here talking about trying to keep our water clean. And good heavens, what do? We're drowning in manure. Harry, some of the numbers that you gave when we were talking at the beginning of the other segment, just about one operation that's had about 1,700 cattle and yet had almost 100 million gallons of manure from those 1,700 cattle on an annual basis. That just blows my mind.
Well, in actuality, they have 5,800 cattle on 127 acres.
Okay, 5,800.
5,800 milking, 5,800 cattle on 127 acres. The place looks like a small city.
I bet. And as you said before we came out to the break, these companies come in and make all of these promises, which unfortunately just don't seem to come to fruition.
Well, you look around Wisconsin, and we used to have very thriving small communities, you know, 400 or 500 people, 1,000 people, 1,200 people. And some of them are just ghost towns now. There might be a gas station, there might be a dollar store, but they're not nearly what they used to be. I live outside New Glarus, Wisconsin. My wife and I farm organically. And New Glarus back in the 50s had 3 car dealerships, 3 or 4 implement dealers, 2 clothing stores, 3 grocery stores, with about the same population as now. But in 1960s, they decided, wow, everything's going to the devil here. We can't make any money. So they went to the went to the tourist route, and they Swissified everything. And now we see half a million people come through the town every year. But not a lot of communities have that situation.
Sure.
And you see what's happening. So the big operations buy all their equipment. They import labor from, in many cases, from other countries. And they don't buy stuff locally. So it's just a sap on not only on the environment, but on the community that they're supposed to be supporting.
Well, and this pressure to constantly get bigger just seems counterintuitive to me. It does.
Well, it's kind of counterintuitive to a lot of people. You know, again, when you think of farming, you think the red barn with a few cows out in the pasture, and people's happy, and the house is well painted, and that's not the case anymore in most cases. The push to get bigger. There's a big ag lag, big ag lobby, and folks in Congress and in the administration, in many cases, believe what they have to say about the direction of the industry, and it's hollowing out rural communities.
Harry Pulliam is our guest. He is the vice president of the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network. I really encourage you to go to their website, sustainruralwisconsin.org. Go to the CAFO toolkit and then go down to the Reality Check Project. Greg had mentioned this. There is just some horrifying pictures on there, Harry.
Well, I think that's it's intentional because people get a glossy view. There's a narrative out there that technology is going to benefit us, and we can overcome all the problems related to industrial agricultural technology, and that's simply not true.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to check in. The money in politics is making our lives so much worse in so many different ways.
Yeah.
When you talk about these lobbying groups, Harry, and this push to keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, it's terrifying. And yet we're losing... We're losing our little farmers. We're gaining these massive operations, and yet at the same time, as you mentioned, Harry, we're hollowing out these little communities.
Yep.
Well, that's so true. And now the industry has—I call it the industry—has taken a different tack. Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is an industry group, as you well know,
mm-hmm.
They have a fairly newly active litigation group, they call it. So basically, right now they're in the process of suing the DNR on the behalf of the Wisconsin Dairy Alliance, and which is a a group of CAFOs, a very small group, actually, I think about six, some of them major polluters already. And the Wisconsin Dairy Alliance, Wisconsin Farmers Bureau, Farm Bureau, by the way, suing the DNR to tell them that you don't have the right to require permits for these operations. And just recently, as I mentioned earlier in the earlier segment, that there's a small group of small towns in northwestern Wisconsin in Polk and Burnett counties have instituted operations ordinances to say, no, we're not saying you can't come here, but you have to do things like submit plans for preventing infectious diseases, air pollution and odor, managing waste and handling dead animals, traffic and property value impact studies, surety for cleanup and decommissioning of an outfit if it happens to go out of business, and a permit fee. And Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, on behalf of some folks locally who don't even own farms, are suing these towns, saying that their operations ordinances are contrary to state law. They are what's called slap suits. They're efforts to keep small communities from protecting themselves.
Yep. We talked about those before, yeah.
Well, and we got just a couple of minutes left before we have to go to break, Harry. Again, if we don't have clean water to drink and we're going to get poisoned from the water that's contaminated with manure, you have no one to sell your milk to.
That's one way of looking at it.
Brilliant, Jane. Brilliant.
Again, if you're going to poison your own customers, this seems like a bad business model.
Well, you know, I don't want to wax poetic here or philosophical, but so often in big business, the concern for the general public is not paramount.
Harry Pulliam is the vice president of the Sustain Rural Wisconsin Network. I highly encourage you to check out their website. We will post it along with the show notes at the end of the show. Harry, thank you so very much for joining us. We will have to have you back and keep us in the loop. Anything we should know about.
That.
Thank you so very much.
Take care of yourself.
You too. Take
care. Thank you, sir.
Stay with us. I see you. We got a couple people hanging on the line with some questions about farms. If you can stay with us through the break, that would be great. We are coming back right after the news. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information, open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Keep up on the day's news, talk, and sports on Wisconsin's home for locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
The D3s.
D3 right in the circle. Badgers take the lead.
The throwdown.
Down the lane and sends it in and one.
The thrilling victories.
Badgers win it. Oh, did they dig in defensively tonight?
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Fakes the three, sidesteps left for three, and the lead. He had it.
The Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Drives the lane, draw and kick, right corner, three. Got it again!
From the home of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news, talk, and sports station.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
It's also worth mentioning that Google has basically become a monopoly of the search engines.
We've never seen this before, where a company is just kind of like owning it. And like, yeah, we are, but what are you going to do?
That's no defense, by the way.
No.
You got nothing then.
What are they paying their attorneys? Hey, Google, search engine, how to find a good attorney.
Weekdays from 8 to 10, right here on Locally Grown Radio.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than Bug Tussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, Bug Tussle has you covered. Bug Tussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. Bug Tussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the Morning Show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the Morning Show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. 27 overnight under cloudy skies, northwest winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy again tomorrow, 42. 35 tomorrow night, slight chance for scattered showers. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
UK.
Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Mock, Carol King with me live in the studio and joining us now. So glad to have him with us. Investigative reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, John Dietrich, is here. Good morning, John. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you all doing?
Really, really good. Well. What an excellent, excellent piece that you have about gun deaths in Wisconsin. The headline, gun deaths are rising in Wisconsin. Suicide in rural areas are a big part of the picture. I'm always impressed by the effort that goes into an investigative piece like this. How long does this take you, John?
Well, in this case, and thank you very much for the great intro and comments. This piece was, I did this through the Marquette O'Brien Fellowship for Public Service Journalism. This is an opportunity where journalists can take the better part of a year to really dig into this. And so I was at Marquette. I had some students that were working with me on this. And so I literally left the Journal Sentinel starting last summer at the beginning of the school year and, you know, had office over there and the support of Marquette. We worked on this. There's various aspects of it, the reporting naturally, but also a big data collection effort. And that took a year to do.
Well, and I just want to impress, that's why journalism is so important. And that's why local journalism is crucial, because in order to really get at some of this stuff, you have to have the bodies to and give them the time
right.
to do this. And that doesn't happen for nothing. It doesn't.
Okay, so John, what's the baseline? Give us the brass tacks of exactly what's happening here in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so I think the story sort of starts off with the question of, like, what do you think of when you think of gun deaths? And I've been covering, I've been a reporter at the Journal Sentinel for 20 years, and so I've written a lot of these stories. But, you know, what people's idea usually goes to issues about homicide. And particularly City of Milwaukee homicides, which is important and are happening. I'm not trying to diminish those. This project seeks to elevate and reveal new categories and not suppress others. But homicide is one. Accidental shootings or negligent shootings or police shootings are another category. And taken together, those do not even come to a third of the gun deaths in Wisconsin. That's 71 out of 100 gun deaths every year are suicide. And while those circumstances are importantly different between a suicide and a homicide, it's important to consider them together. As Sarah Kolbeck from the Medical College said, while it's important to understand the differences, what this does is this opens up an idea that gun deaths are affecting everyone across our state in different ways. And when you adjust for population, Milwaukee is actually not the top county for per capita gun deaths in the state. And so just that fact was new. And I've covered this issue for a while, not that I know everything by any means, but it was new information. And as I'm hearing from readers, that's a new category for them as well.
John, what is the top county for gun deaths in Wisconsin?
It's Iron County and Russ County. There's a series of small counties that are in the northern part of the state that the Native American population is large. The suicide rate is super high there. And, you know, I think it's really important when coming in, and I should have said this at the top, but in all the discussions I'm doing about this, I think it's really important that we know that if you're hearing this now and this is a category for you and you're concerned or you're feeling suicidal, dial 988. That's the phone number, the national phone number and here in the state to call and get help. It's really, really important to emphasize that as well. But yeah, it's those smaller counties that people might not think of in terms of gun deaths. And I've looked at the data from places like Iron County and Russ County and others. I mean, it's all suicide. And so what we were asking for was gun deaths from every county in the state. We got them from 71 of the 72 counties. And what we wanted to do was help people, you know, kind of give a snapshot while also protecting people's privacy.
Sure.
And not exploiting really terrible situations, but helping people kind of understand and pulling back a little bit the curtain on something that we don't traditionally write about suicide very often. And so that creates maybe an impression among some that it's not as frequent, and it is super frequent.
I got to be honest with you. I live in Ozaukee County, and I have a very dear friend who was a cop, and he was telling me about Ozaukee County, and I was shocked at the number of suicides that he said that he got called to, and it was all gun. And I was just, you know, in little, you know, here I am, little Ozaukee County queen. And it was just unbelievable to me, the stories he was telling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Ozaukee County data did really, really jump off. And when you think about the lack of homicides in some of these areas, like I said, it really dominates. And again, you know, firearms, I should say at the outset, the majority of people that I talked to for this project were gun owners. Then we can talk a little bit more about kind of what I learned in those discussions. But what our efforts were and what we're calling the project is Behind the Gun. And that works on two levels. One is to see the data behind the gun. And more importantly, in my opinion, is to see the humanity behind the gun, to see the people who are victimized or have died, have suffered in this way, whether they be the person who actually was struck by a bullet or family members, and also gun owners themselves, who I learned were just a varied lot. And we can talk about that. But yes, it is it was surprising to me when I saw the data. Again, firearms are the most common means that result in a death and suicide. And it's not that gun owners themselves, there's no data to suggest that gun owners, by the fact that they own a gun, are more prone to mental health problems or crises. But it's that when those things come up, which they do come up for all of us to some degree, the means by which somebody might have to act on an impulsively very dark thought it's very deadly with a firearm, because without getting into too many details around me.